Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
It is nothing short of a miracle that the female body can grow a little human. But pregnancy is also a time associated with a rapidly changing body, physical ailments you've never heard of before, and an overwhelming feeling of loss of control. In this episode, we talk all things pregnancy, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Our panel consists of Vic Goodchild, accessory buyer at Oliver Bonus and mother to Riley, 9 months, Sam McPherson, physiotherapist, writer, yoga and Pilates teacher, and mother to Lily, 10 months, Amy Cole, director of product marketing at WhatsApp, and mother to Ellie, 9 months. You listen to the podcast To Become a Mother, and my name is Caroline Johansson. Hi, everyone, and welcome.
Hi.
I'd like to start by asking you, Vic, if you can take us back to when you found out that you were pregnant. When did you discover it? Where were you? Who did you tell? And what thoughts were running through your head?
So I found out in our flat in London. I think we'd been at my partner's parents' house for about 2 weeks and I'd missed my period. So I was sort of thinking, am I pregnant? I'd done a test, one of those ones that says pregnant or not, and it was no. So that was a bit disappointing. And then got back to the flat and I was still like, are you sure? Like, what's going on? So really casually just bought a pregnancy test in Morrison's and came back and just did it upstairs without even telling Jack that I was doing it, basically. And then there was like a little faint line and I was like, okay. So to give the context, I had a miscarriage kind of 4 months before. So my immediate reaction wasn't like the first time round where we were really excited and, you know, had that initial kind of overwhelming excitement that you get initially. So we were kind of more cautious. So I guess it wasn't the reaction that probably most people go through. But we were kind of excited, nervous. I then did about a million other pregnancy tests just to check. You can buy them on Amazon. You can buy like a pack of multi-pack for much cheaper. Did loads of them. And then it did take a while for it to sink in. Like, I didn't really tell anyone to begin with. I think I told my mum again, like, really casually on the phone. You know, I think I'm pregnant. My mum's like, oh, you know. And I was really sort of in denial about it because of having had the miscarriage. And I just, you know, it was such an overwhelming experience the first time around. And we didn't want to get our hopes up. So, yeah, it was a strange time. Yeah. And then the excitement obviously came later.
And when did you feel comfortable enough to start talking about it? Like, so when did that first bit of anxiety wear off? And when did you feel you could start telling people?
Well, so with my miscarriage, I had quite a lot of spotting to begin with. And it's very confusing because, as we know, you know, spotting can be a sign that you are pregnant, but it also can be a sign that you're not pregnant. So it's very confusing. And so I had a bit of that and I went for lots of early scans. I really would recommend anyone to go and get an early scan if you're in a position to be able to go and do that, because that filled me with so much sort of security, I guess, that, you know, everything was going well. So after kind of, I don't know, I think after the 12-week scan, I was of, you know, that was the relief point for me, but was still unsure. I think I definitely told my immediate friends, because I think having been through that big experience, which is really kind of devastating, you need your friends around you to kind of support you through that. So I think, you know, it wasn't until kind of even the 20-week, I think, that I was really like comfortable sharing it with people. I'll probably talk about this later, but I feel like for me, my pregnancy was like in two halves. You know, I was really excited latterly, but initially very anxious.
Yeah. I think a lot of women can relate to that. Amy, turning to you, so can you tell us how you found out and where you were and all those, the thoughts that must have been going through your head?
So for us, we had tried for quite a while and weren't able to get pregnant. So we did IVF. And so when we found out, we were literally like waiting by the phone for the call. You go through this like waiting period where like, you know, you kind of go through the like the process and then you're taking all the hormones, right? Like it's like injections and patches and like all the things that you have to do. And so that whole period, you kind of don't know what signals are real signals and what signals are just artificial signals. So you just kind of get excited when something happens, but you try not to because you don't know if it's really going to happen. And so, yeah, we got the call. And I think probably similar to Vic, we have so many friends who have had losses or have really struggled. And so even with that call, like the whole process, it was really hard to get excited. We were just still really nervous that, you know, kind of something would happen. But so I think it just took a while to probably settle in. But because we were going through such a long process, all of our family knew. So, you know, as soon as we got the call, we were like WhatsApping my partner's mom, like my mom, just like letting everybody know. So a weird process, I think, to like be so I guess not proactive, everyone's proactive, probably yeah. In trying to make it happen, but just going through that mentally is kind of a weird thing to go through, I think.
Can totally see that. Sam, how was it for you? When did you find out?
We found out we were at home, actually, and I'd been feeling terrible for a few weeks. So conversely, we had a really easy experience. We were so blessed, like no trouble at all getting pregnant. But she was hiding. I'd missed a couple of periods, but I wasn't getting any positive. So I kept like testing, but well, something's up. So then I started to worry that something was wrong with me. Or I was like, well, if I'm not pregnant, but I'm not having a period and I'm feeling dreadful, something's up. Like I'll go for a blood test. And we started that ball sort of rolling. We were waiting. And it was actually just, it was at my husband's birthday. I was like, I think I've made you a baby for your birthday. I think that's what I said. I kind of decided that. I was like, because there needs to be a reason that I feel so rough. And he was so desperate to be pregnant. And then we'd had a few negative tests and he said, I don't even want you to take another one because we're going to wait to the blood test. We're going to find out what's going on. Cause I can't have another negative test and you're not feeling right. It's worrying me. I was like, okay, fine. So then the next morning after his birthday, I just went to the bathroom and took a test on my own. It's like, I need to know. And I feel I'm convinced. And it was positive. So I came out and I'd been up most of the night feeling rubbish. I get my dressing gown with it stuffed in my pocket. And he was making like breakfast, like, you okay? How are you feeling? You look pretty good for someone who's had a rough night again, like feeling headachy and sicky. And I was like, that's because I'm pregnant. And I was like waving this stick about. And he was like, his little face just lit up. So we were just like at home on a Sunday morning after celebrating his birthday. And it was just, so it just felt amazing. So I always feel so lucky that I didn't have too much to worry about before. It just kind of happened so easily. And then we were over the moon and went on FaceTime and phoned everyone because we always said, even if we were super duper early, we were in like a pandemic, we were in lockdown, isolation was massive already. If it didn't happen, if something went wrong, we'd want people around us. And we've had friends that have been like, I won't tell anyone till I'm 16 weeks, we'll keep it a secret. And then something's gone wrong and they've been heartbroken by themselves, which I think just feels really strange to us. So we shared and, you know, fortunately we were lucky and everything was fine. But yeah, Lily was the hiding test for...
God, that's so interesting. Oh, wow, but you were right.
Yeah. I knew.
So staying with you, Sam, just thinking about your pregnancy, can you tell us a bit how it was? Like, what did you enjoy about being pregnant and what did you feel were like the lows?
So I actually enjoyed very little about being pregnant. So I was diagnosed with depression and anxiety and I had a clinical psychologist from my 16-week appointment with the midwife, who was amazing because I was just so rough. From literally the moment I was pregnant, I was like, why am I feeling this way? And yeah. I think I got to about 10 weeks and I couldn't stop being sick. I had awful blood pressure problems. I had headaches. I just felt like I had flu 24/7. So like lifting my own head off the pillow was so tricky. And I got to the midwife and she's like, are you okay? And I was no, like this. And I just kind of sobbed. I got off the couch, she did my blood pressure, and she said, it's in your boots, no wonder you're feeling rough. And they did actually, and I was depleted a few things and I needed a little bit of treatment, which did help. But up to that point, I was like, I'm failing at pregnancy. Like, I'm getting it wrong, because all of my friends and family who have had babies were like, from the moment of conception, glowing and smiley and happy and like glossy. And I was like, I look rubbish. I look, feel rubbish. Yeah. And I found that so difficult. I just felt like I was failing at the first hurdle because I felt terrible and couldn't figure a way to, and I was working a lot, but I don't need to. So yeah, I found that really heartbreaking for ages, and then it continued. So I was poorly up until about 30 weeks. So I had a long time of being sick and having blood pressure problems and pain. I had awful pelvic pain. And I'm like really fit, and I've looked after lots of women and taught like yoga and Pilates to women. So I thought, you know, I'm prepared. Yeah. I know about the body. I can do this, which just made it worse, because people are like, you're so fit and healthy. I don't know why your pregnancy is so rough. And I'm like, tell me about it. So yeah, the glow didn't come till after.
But it came through, definitely.
But it did come through. I mean, there are wonderful things, and I, like, you know, when you're getting big and you're waddling about and you feel the wriggles, and like, to be honest, I was honest with everyone about it. I think because I had felt rubbish, I felt like people needed to know this. I'd so unprepared for perhaps having a pregnancy that wasn't gorgeous. You know, people are like, is it amazing when you're a bit nauseated because you know that the baby's there? And I'm like, no, throwing up on your feet at 3 a.m. is not romantic.
Yeah.
And then when you get wriggles, I was like, let's be honest, you'll have a big turn, the baby will do a loop-de-loop, and you're like, am I going to pee, poo, vomit? Like, it's really weird because you have no control. And then you're like, oh, it's amazing there's a baby in there. It's like a massive jump in your heart, and then you go up and down. But I love that. I think towards the end when I had a bit of a rest and a weekend away, that was my best part of my pregnancy. My husband did like an amazing weekend, and he catered for every need in terms of comfort in sofas and when we were staying. And I was like, this is the moment to be pregnant. So I kind of like, I'm focusing on this.
And in terms of your anxiety and the depression you were suffering from, because when I was pregnant, I didn't even know, I'd heard about postpartum depression and anxiety, but I didn't know that you could have anxiety and depression during pregnancy. So when did you find out, and who did you speak to in terms of getting help?
So again, it was that 16-week appointment with my midwife, and she referred me to the prenatal mental health team, because again, I had no clue. Everyone has heard of PND, so everyone knows that post you very likely in lots of cases to suffer, and that's completely normal. And I think that's great that lots of people know that, but I had no clue you could just sort of drop off in your pregnancy. So I then had a few telephone assessments with a prenatal psychologist and answered about a billion questions, and just literally I was completely honest, because I think I felt that I needed to let them know exactly how I was feeling with everything so that I could be the best mum on the other side. That was already that kind of mum instinct kicked in, like, I need to look after myself because I got a baby on the way, we got to get this wrapped up. And they were really amazing, and they just talked through the different aspects of the depression. Like, we'd been in a lockdown, it was a perfect storm. I worked in healthcare, so I've been under a lot of pressure for a long time. Then I was pregnant really poorly, we were in a lockdown, I'd moved away from my family, so I was isolated. It was the perfect storm to feel low in mood of any kind and anxious. And then I've had cancer previously, so I had to isolate throughout the pregnancy anyway. So I didn't see anybody. So like, you're suddenly alone, growing a baby and feeling rough. Of course you're feeling rubbish. And I was like, oh yeah, that might be why. And then every week I had calls with the clinical psychologist. We did talking therapy. We did a little bit of CBT stuff for like getting towards the other side, when it's like, you can get out and do things. You're going to need to be equipped. And it did help, but it didn't lift. I was still seeing a psychologist up until Lily was 6 months old. Because again, if you've got it before, it's really important. I didn't want to let go of that service because I was worried about having postnatal depression.
Yeah, because you're more likely, right?
Yeah, potentially, absolutely. Yeah. Of course, because you've struggled and you've had all your resources zapped from you. Yeah. So afterwards, and then you've got this new person and your whole life has changed, so you're more at risk. But that's when my glow arrived later. She arrived and it all felt a lot better.
And was that provided for you on the NHS? Mm-hmm. That was great. Well, that's fantastic. I'm sure we'll return to that topic later. But in the meantime, Amy, how was your pregnancy?
Yeah, kind of that first trimester, definitely brutal, as it is for a lot of people. Super nauseous, just exhausted. You know, you're like just in your bones, like so tired that there were times I'm working and it like actually was a nice time to be in lockdown because I could be at home. So, you know, you're like wearing your sweatpants in meetings, right? And you can like turn off the camera if you're feeling really terrible. So definitely like struggled through that time. And I think especially since we were doing IVF, so we're like kind of doing all the extra hormones. So like load in more hormones into this and like, man, it's tough. But once I got out of kind of that first trimester, I definitely like my energy came back. Like I started feeling a lot better and actually really did kind of enjoy the pregnancy, I would say. And especially things I loved, the scans were like my favorite, absolute favorite. So we also got to do an early scan and you go in and like, I don't know what I expected, but like we went in and like into the scan and like you could hear the heartbeat. It was like 7 weeks and you could hear a heartbeat. And it was just like the most amazing thing I've ever heard. It's like it would last a couple days and then you would start to like worry, like, you know, is something wrong? Like you definitely felt that like, oh, I want to go to the next one because I just like want to know it's okay. But every single time you go, we had to do a private scan at one point to do a couple of extra tests. And so while we were there, they actually did video recordings. Oh. So we got a couple of videos sent to us. And I like the number of times I watched that video of just like the little baby moving was just amazing. So like definitely good and bad. I also like I had a lot of not as many cravings. There were like some food aversions. Like there were just weird things that I loved eating that like I just did not want. Like you couldn't bring it near me. I like do not want it. And then all of these weird things that I like craved. Someone once told me like we crave things from childhood. And I was like, maybe because like I was craving like kids' breakfast cereal. Like I would have cereal for dinner. Like at least a couple times a week.
Charms all day long.
Exactly. Like macaroni and cheese. I like literally had to like order Kraft macaroni and cheese because I couldn't get it here. I like had it come on Amazon. My mom came to visit and like brought this like suitcase of Kraft macaroni and cheese. So that was like kind of the good side in a way of like you get to eat all these things that you would normally feel a little guilty about. And I'm like, I don't feel guilty at all.
A magnum every day.
Exactly.
I felt the same way. And I was thinking maybe that's because I felt more in tune with my body than I would normally do. Yeah. So when I was eating it, I was literally feeling, but I need this.
Yeah.
Whereas normally I probably would be a bit more disconnected and it would be hard to say, well, I really need, is this, do I really need this or am I just greedy?
Totally. I mean, there's like mornings I craved grapefruit or like things where you definitely feel like, I think my body just needed that.
Yeah.
I don't know that it ever just needed macaroni and cheese, but like the rest, I think there's something going on that your body knows what it needs.
It's so nice what you're saying about the scans too. It just, it's really that moment, isn't it? When it suddenly feels real, when you're seeing or hearing the heartbeat, as you say, it's very nice. Vic, how was your pregnancy?
I think mine was like ups and downs. It felt like a bit of a roller coaster, getting a lot better at the end. Yeah, so obviously I said about the miscarriage. So there's that, obviously carrying that through. And yeah, I felt sick quite a lot of the time. Up until 20 weeks, I was pretty much like nauseous all the time. But I didn't mind that because, you know, like you said, I was the opposite. I was like anything that kind of made me feel pregnant, I just embraced. So actually, in that sense, I had a really good pregnancy because I was feeling happy, even though all these things were happening. But yeah, for up and down, like you'd have a scan and you'd be up and then you'd have a few weeks where you'd had the scan. So you're like, okay, I'm pregnant and this is all going fine. And then I'd have some bleeding or something would happen. I'd be back down again, like back to worrying. And yeah, so I guess that first trimester is quite scary. And then you can tell everyone. And then once I kind of got the security of the confidence, I guess, that this baby was coming. And I remember, like you said about the feeling of the movements. And I remember the first time, like I felt that kind of flutter. I was just so, I just loved that. And I was like addicted to it. Like, so if I would sit on the bed with my legs up, I could feel him move at certain points of the day. So I would literally go up. I was staying at my husband's parents' house because it was in lockdown a lot. So I would like go up to the room just sit on the bed and put my legs up so I could just feel him moving. And like, that was just like my heaven doing that. And so, yeah, like after kind of that, I got back pain, which was horrendous. Like it was like on one side for some reason, it was just like, it would zap me. And obviously working, like lots of pregnant women will know, like working on a laptop is not ideal. Finally, I got work to give me a chair, which they were so kind about. I was like, I wish I'd asked for that, you know, like way earlier on, because that probably would have really helped me. And the back pain wasn't great. And that kind of eased off. And then getting towards the end, like I was the annoying glowing person. Like I was like, I'm pregnant, this is great. And did feel really good. And I was really excited. I was so excited to have him. Mm. I was so caught up, I think, on the pregnancy. You know, the afterbirth bit, I didn't really think about enough, I would say.
Yeah.
But the pregnancy part, I was like, yeah.
You really enjoyed it by the time you could, got over the worst hurdle. And so, yeah, I guess you all touched on it, but your body changes so quickly during this time. So how did you all feel in your body? Like, how did you feel about those changes?
Well, I like the bigger boobs. Yeah. I was like, this is great. I kind of embraced that. I think initially I looked back at some pictures of me pregnant early days, and I thought that I looked really pregnant. And now you look at them and you're like, barely anything there. Like nobody in the street would know that you were actually pregnant. And then you get to the point where I think I just felt fat for a while. I was just like, I haven't got a bump. I'm literally just fat. And then once you get over that, and then the bump starts like showing.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't actually mind. I think I was warped. Like I thought I was still small. Like I genuinely did. Like I didn't think I'd put on loads of weight. And it wasn't until like post the baby, I felt like pregnant for another 6 months because I'd probably eaten so much. So I was like, I'll just eat whatever I want because that's what the baby needs. And, you know, I'm glad that I did do that and didn't get caught up on my body. Because I did put on quite a lot of weight. I remember, Googling how much weight I'd put on. And I was like, no, surely not.
Yeah, I guess like weight is definitely something that many pregnant women are worrying about. How did you feel about that, Amy?
I think because I was so nauseous in the beginning that I like actually lost weight early on. So then I was more like just kind of tracking, like, am I gaining the right amount of weight and, like, is this healthy? So I think I still obviously gained weight in pregnancy, but I think that offset.
Well, for me, it was like the more nauseous I felt and the more I ate made me feel less sick. So I was eating to stop myself feeling sick.
I had exactly the same thing. Yeah, I was eating nonstop because that was the only time I wasn't nauseous.
Yeah.
It was horrible.
I don't, in my head, I just expected to feel big the whole time. And instead it was like, this is taking forever. Like every time you look in the mirror, you're like, I want to see it. Like you're so anxious. And it's just like, still the same, still the same. Like it took so long. And then I think by the end, when you get like closer, that's when I started feeling like, there is not enough space in here. Like you feel like an elbow or like a foot in your ribs all the time or like something going on in there. But even with that, like I think I did like, you just feel more connected almost to your body as you're going through this. You feel all these like movements and you're like paying attention to it so much more that it just, I don't know, it was a really cool experience even going through everything that you go through.
Yeah. Sam, how was for you? You touched on it earlier.
I mean, I was quite similar to you with the being sick early in quite a while. I lost weight. And then we had a few kind of worrying scans because I wasn't big enough. So I was being told you haven't gained enough weight. Even at like 30 weeks, you haven't gained enough weight. So we had to go in and get measurements. And baby was fine, small but perfectly formed. I had just not gained a lot. So I got to the end of the pregnancy only having gained a few kilos, like nothing much at all. So from behind, you wouldn't have known I was pregnant. And then just had this like tight bump. I definitely made up for it after. I gained all my baby weight after she was born. Because I gave birth to her and was like, I can eat now. And then basically ate chocolate chip banana bread solidly for about 4 months and gained 10 kilos. So I gained double the amount of weight after I gave birth, just for fun. Because I'm like, now I can do this. I'm stuffing it in. I'm breastfeeding. It's fine. But I felt super connected. Like, it is amazing that I was really aware of everything. And I had like an early labor moment in the pregnancy that was too early. And I knew something wasn't right. And I was so amazed at the mum instincts kicking in then. Lily had her own regime in utero. And I love the wriggles. I knew like 4 a.m. was party time. Like it was a disco. And like before dinner, she'd always go. She's definitely like me. She loves the food. So just before, as we're getting hungry, she'd have a good wriggle like, where is it? Yeah. And so you could literally time my bump movements like to the day. You'd be like, 7, bosh, there it is. And then she didn't move one day. I was like, she's not complained about dinner time being running late, you know. And it was just, I had this feeling. And then 4 a.m. we were in the hospital and they're like, yep, you've had a little, these are actually early contractions. Baby's gone a bit quiet, but you're fine. And it all was completely fine, thankfully, afterwards. But I remember feeling like, I know what is going on. Like, yeah. I know this baby and I know my body. And that just grew throughout the pregnancy. From the first stages of being like, what's going on? Like, you know, the little bleeds. Is it still okay? What's going on in there? Is she all right? Is it all of those things to being like, I know exactly what's happening. And then obviously afterwards being like, now I've got baby moms, I've got no clue.
I was so connected and that's gone.
I'm so connected, yeah. And now I'm just tired and confused.
Or before I became pregnant, I never really thought about bumps. Like, are they big? Are they small? Like, it was nothing that I ever thought about. But then when I became pregnant, I suddenly became super aware. I'm one of these people who have a huge bump really early on. And I was quite surprised how people commented on it. And suddenly you're allowed to comment on pregnant women's bodies. How did you have a similar experience? Because some of my other friends, they had a very small bump. And they also found that really hard when people commented.
Yeah, I can't remember whether my bump was big or small. He was quite high up because he's a boy, whether that's a wives' tale or not. Yeah, I did get a bad comment that really knocked me. A lady said, am I having twins? And I was really like shocked. Like I literally was like, what? No, of course I'm not. I'm not having twins. Like, and then that really did kind of affect me. Mm-hmm. Strangely, I didn't think a comment like that would really bother me because, yeah, it's... I mean, it's obviously she didn't mean it. I was like, I tried to like rationalize it in my head. Like, she obviously just didn't mean that she'd said that. And it was kind of maybe an awkward comment and don't take it personally. But it did kind of upset me a bit because I thought, and that was, like I said, latterly in my pregnancy, where maybe I was bigger than, you know, maybe I should have been or shouldn't have been. It doesn't matter. But yeah, so that did shake me a little bit.
Amy.
I didn't have anyone comment, but so I had gestational diabetes, which I found out kind of later in the pregnancy. And so we had to do a lot of extra scans because there's a risk that the baby is bigger when you have it. And so literally every scan I went to, they would scan and they're like, oh, chubby baby. Oh, like you go into the next one, they're like, chubby baby. Like every single one of the, oh, we already know this. It's a big baby. Like, so it's just like that part of it was hard. And what's crazy is that like the scans are actually like there's a huge like tolerance. And so when she was born, she was actually small. Like she was not big at all. Yeah. So the whole time mentally, I'm like, I have this huge baby. What am I going to do?
Yeah.
So like that's in my head and like that worry. So it was stressful.
Going into labor with that knowledge must have been.
Oh my God, I was terrified. She came 2 weeks early, which I was like very glad about. Because it was a real struggle of like, we probably would have been induced early because they thought the risk was high that the baby would be too big. And so there's like one part of you that's like, yes, I think we should do that because it's probably the best thing. And part of you that says, like, I had read so much about like positive birth and like really wanted a natural birth. And like a big part of me was like, if I do induction, like it's not the baby's time. Like she'll come when she's ready. And so like I really wanted to be able to go through that. And so it like was this huge debate that we were having of like, should we do it? Should we not do it kind of thing? And so it was actually a real relief when she came and we didn't have to make the decision. Yeah. But yeah, it was tough.
She made it for you.
She did, thankfully.
And what about you, Sam?
Yeah, I think I just felt I had a lot of comments and it was amazing. It ranged from, oh my gosh, you're giant to you're so tiny. And you're like, well, which one of you is right? Mainly I had, and kind of I could brush a lot of those off, but mostly people were telling me how small I was. And because I'd been poorly and we had the growth scans again, like I found that quite tricky. So you'd be going and you're like, oh, I'm not getting big enough. My bump's not getting big. Like I'm eating these magnums a day. I'm trying to get it in.
Yeah.
And I found that really upsetting because I was like, oh, again, it's another thing I'm not doing right in pregnancy. I can't even get a bump right because people are like, oh, you must be only halfway through. And I'm like, no, I'm nearly at the end.
Yeah.
I'm just not massive. And then going, hurry up, blow, pop. So I found that more weirdly upsetting to be told I'm small all the time. Because you're like, is everything right? Is everything normal?
I think what I learned through my experience is that you should only tell a pregnant woman that she's glowing.
Yeah.
Nothing else. So, yeah, and we spoke about how quickly your body is growing. What about dressing yourself? Because I found that quite hard. I suddenly lost my own sense of style and became quite frumpy. And I tried to dress cooler and it just turned out awfully. So that was a real struggle for me. How did you guys find it, Vic?
Yeah, so, well, I work in fashion and I love fashion and clothes and I love having a style. So I did find it quite difficult. And also we were in lockdown at that point, or in part. So I actually got quite lucky with just being able to be in leggings. I remember one point, wearing leggings. And being like, I would never go out wearing leggings. Like, what is this? Like, I was really sort of like, I wanted people to know that I was pregnant because I was like, I'm wearing this because I'm pregnant. Like, wouldn't normally wear this. Like, I know that sounds awful.
Get a t-shirt printed.
Yeah, it's awful. But I was, and I kept doing like ASOS orders and getting things and sending them back. But I bought a lot of t-shirts. I bought a lot of jerseys because I thought, well, I might as well be comfortable. So I bought a lot of like maternity t-shirts, which I actually still wear now.
Oh, wow.
And really like them because they're like oversized. So there's nothing, you know, that's actually, I've got a few things in my wardrobe that I'm like, I still love them and still wear them.
Yeah.
But yeah, I definitely felt a bit kind of like lost. And I actually think post-pregnancy, I was in denial, I think. I didn't realise that you read things, but post-pregnancy, 6 months, a good 6 months, and even now, I'm not quite back to where I was. Mm. And in my head, I think post-pregnancy, I was sort of thinking, 6 weeks and I'll be wearing my clothes again. No, that wasn't happening. No. So for me, like, I was more upset about that, like, because I was like ready to get back to myself, but I was still wearing my maternity clothes. I was still, you know, when you're breastfeeding as well, that limits your wardrobe completely, yeah, because you've got to wear everything. It's got to be open and flappy. And now I've got billions of shirts in my wardrobe. So I think my style has changed since pregnancy and post-pregnancy. I'm getting back to where I am, where I was. But also, I'm now like, I'm a mum, so my style is a little bit different, yeah, to where it was before. Like, there's certain things that I've had to be like, I can't wear that anymore. That's not who I am.
Yeah.
Like, I want to be like cool, but I think I need to not be young cool. I don't know. But it's finding the balance. It's an interesting transition. It has been.
Yeah, you know? It really is. At least it's fun. When you work in fashion, you can explore it.
You
have an excuse.
I've been shopping a lot recently because I do feel more like back to my old self. I'm like, oh, this is fun again.
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually really lost the sense of fun and shopping when I was pregnant.
I just felt that also wearing my stuff on repeat was horrible. I was so tired of my pregnancy stuff. Amy, how did you get on with pregnancy fashion?
Exactly the same. Like, do not get me started on how bad these clothes are. Like, it's crazy. Half of the population is likely to go through this, like, possibly multiple times. And no one makes clothes that are actually, like, stylish or something that, like, makes you feel good in your body. You, like, put on these clothes and you feel awful. They're, like, terrible. I did the same. Like, I ordered so many things and you, like, send them back. And luckily, like, I wear a lot of oversized clothes anyway. Like, Guy will make fun of me. I'll go shopping and I'll bring home, like, a big jumper. And he's like, oh, another bag. But, like, luckily they all fit.
Yeah.
As I'm, like, getting bigger. So I mostly ended up just, like, I bought a couple, like, pregnancy jeans, like, things that would, like, fit around the belly, and then just like did a lot of normal clothes, like maybe not my exact normal ones, but like things that were kind of like not maternity clothes, but just bigger or, you know, high waisted so you can kind of pull it up over the bump, like things where you could play around, but like mostly normal if I could get away with it. By the end, it was just like, I've lost all hope. I remember like so vividly this one day, I had on this like awful dress, like it was just the worst. And one of my friends, like, stopped by. They're, like, neighbors. They live down the street. And they were just like, oh, just stopping by. We're going to have a picnic. Do you want to come? And I was, like, so embarrassed that I was in this, like, ugly mom dress. And it's just, like, it's so hard, I think, when you're going through this. And, like, breastfeeding, honestly, was even harder. So
there is
a business idea here, I think, to make better clothes for
100%.
Women.
Sam, how was for you?
I agree with you. I felt like I really lost my identity. With my work, I live in leggings and stuff anyway. But then I got to, like, I wanted to burn my pregnancy leggings. Like, I just did not want to see them again because I wore them, washed them, wore them constantly because it was the only thing I was just comfortable in. And I did feel, I was like, I'm just like, I used to love dresses. Mm. And there are a few things, there are a few moments, like I had dresses that were kind of bigger and baggier that I could wear. But when you were kind of working from home, we were in lockdown and you don't have the, like, I didn't feel like, I didn't feel well. So like, why would I put a dress on anyway? And then I thought, like, I've been wearing these leggings and t-shirts, my husband's t-shirts, for like 6 months. And I should probably wash my hair. But then I did a big shop and everything went back. I was like, it's all hideous. Yeah. It's all awful. I feel worse in this. And then I did try to be a bit proud of my bump at one point. Like, I taught a few classes wearing like high-waisted leggings and a sports top with my bump out. I thought, actually, oh, nice. That looks better than all of the other maternity stuff. Because that weird waistline that's kind of flappy, that never fits you, but it's either too big or too small for the bump.
Yeah.
So it either kind of flops down or it's too small and rolls down. So you're like, great. So I did that a few, but, and then I did it, and there was just a lot of comments of like, oh my God, we can really see your bump. And I'm like, I'm going to own it. And then I was like, no, I'm not going to own it anymore. Actually, I'm just going to wear a baggy t-shirt. Yeah, because we didn't need to be talking about my belly for ages.
But I just felt my skin was also really sore. So, or like sensitive is probably the right word. So there was just like limits to what fabrics I could wear. I remember anything that was synthetic was just horrible. I don't know if it's like a pregnancy sensitivity.
I forgot to mention, we had an added challenge. So Givi and I were meant to get married during lockdown and the wedding got canceled twice. And so when things reopened, we actually decided to do a town hall wedding with our family, and I was 8 months pregnant. So like, now add on trying to find a maternity wedding dress. Like, just do a Google search for like maternity wedding dress, and it is terrifying what comes up.
Vegas
so.
Spectacular. Yeah.
It was pretty bad.
What about shoes? Did you go high heels?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you did?
Oh, yeah. I love shoes. Yeah. I wore my normal shoes. It was...
You're like, yay, something I can fit into.
Exactly.
What about worries that you had about being pregnant that never really turned out to actually be so bad as you thought? Like, so for example, I was really scared of getting stretch marks everywhere, and I didn't get any stretch marks, but I was like worried throughout pregnancy, and I just wish I hadn't worried so much, and probably I hadn't cared if I had stretch marks. Did you have anything that you were really worried about, Amy?
I mean, to be honest, I think the only thing I worried that didn't happen, definitely stretch marks, same for me. I would do like the oil every night, like, please, you know, like, kind of praying for a miracle. And then also, like, I just somehow in my head, I expected like I would just be big the whole time I was pregnant. And so that for me was like, I guess, a pleasant surprise in a way that you actually weren't that uncomfortable for the majority of the pregnancy. It was just like kind of the end that got really tough. So those are probably the two things that I worried the most about that didn't. There were many things I worried about and it was valid, but those like didn't happen.
Sam, did you have anything that you were?
I worried mostly about how, like, my husband would see me. That was my biggest worry. I mean, I was also worried about stretch marks because my body loves a stretch mark. And it was obsessed about the oils and creams and everything. But I was really worried. I was like, will he be strange with me as I get bigger? Will he? Because you feel like you don't recognize your own body. Mm. So when you lose your identity because you're wearing sweatpants 24/7 for months and then your body's changing. Like, I remember at one point being like, if you chop my head off in this mirror, I wouldn't know that that was me.
Yeah.
And I found that quite strange. And I was like, how does that feel? So at the beginning of the pregnancy and always being quite fit, I was like, oh, is this going to feel strange?
Mm.
And it did. But what I loved, actually, what turned out to be amazing is that every time, like, I did something stupid, like knock my bump like into the plant or something, because you're just like, you've lost all your spatial awareness. Tom loved it. Like, he just loved me pregnant. He loved how I looked and he was so excited about everything. And I was like, well, I don't know why I was worrying about this.
Yeah.
I was like, so that was a worry that turned out to be amazing. And now I'm like, oh, I remember when you were sort of doughy-eyed looking at me like, you're carrying my baby. And I was worried that you'd go, gosh, she looks like, you know, a beach ball.
Yeah. I remember that worry too. I had the same and I feel like, yeah, it didn't come out to be true. So yeah, that was a pleasant surprise.
I was worried because we go out a lot and party a lot and always, like, you know, I would never not go out and drink. So in my mind, I was like, God, I'm going to really struggle. I'm going to really struggle in being in social situations and kind of like, one, you know, missing the thirst. But actually, I wasn't at all. Like, I actually really enjoyed it. I would like go out, have a small glass of wine, have a nice chatter, and then take myself off home because you're knackered.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I'm exhausted. I'm going to go home. And actually, I didn't find that side of being pregnant hard at all. I was like, you know, more like, okay, it's fine. Have a nice time.
Yeah.
Your body seems to know you're not supposed to have it.
Yeah.
Because I was like, how am I going to cope with Sauvignon Blanc? I did actually also have that worry.
Yeah. Oh, that was a huge worry.
Yeah. And I'm like, I couldn't face a glass of wine if you like tried to pay me for it. Yeah.
I'm like, just like, actually, I'm all right.
Yeah.
And then you think, oh, I think in my mind, I was like, oh, you know, am I going to be really boring? I think that's the thing you kind of worry about. Mm. But actually, not at all. I was like a lot more confident than I thought I would be. So I was pleased about that.
Saved a lot of Uber money.
Yeah.
And I think at least Simon, he got quite into being the supporter of the pregnant wife. Yeah. So he seemed to enjoy being at home and eating an extra portion and watching telly and relaxing.
Yeah.
So we are coming to an end to this podcast. But before we go, I just wanted to ask you if you have a tip or a word of advice for anyone who's out there who is just starting thinking about becoming pregnant or who is pregnant.
Yeah, I think my bit of advice would be to educate yourself, and that the birth can be a positive experience, because I kind of went into being pregnant and having a baby not really knowing an awful lot. And a friend of mine like recommended like hypnobirthing and a few books. And I was like, you know, I'm not going to read them. But then obviously I'm not drinking as much. I'm not going out as much. I've got a bit of time on my hands. I sort of did read some of these books. And I was so glad that I took the time to kind of read about the birth and the experience, because there's such negative like connotations in, you know, on telly, like that it's going to be this awful thing. And oh my God, it's so painful. And actually looking into the hypnobirthing, I know it's not for everyone, but the bits that I took from it were kind of, yeah, reading about, you know, it explains about the birth and the, you can do a birth plan and how the birth is in your hands. You know, you can have a control over what happens. You know, you can say, this is how I want it. Option one, you know, this, if this doesn't happen, option two, option three. And if I have to have a cesarean, this is how I want it. And I think going into pregnancy and birth with those tools and the breathing meant that my experience of birth was really good.
Mm.
And I really want people to be able to also have had that kind of knowledge and experience.
So instead of going into or like going through pregnancy with the fear of birth hanging over you, yeah, you're kind of empowering yourself, using the pregnancy as a time to empower yourself to go into.
Yeah. And I think I had a good birth. I was lucky, but I also think that, you know, really strengthened why I had a good birth, and I was able to kind of go into it in such a positive mindset that I was so excited rather than fearful. So, you know, my birth was good.
I think that's a really good tip. Amy?
I definitely second what Vic said. I did the same thing. I did hypnobirthing. And just like you learn so much about how your body works that like you just understand so much more going into the process, and I think you feel more comfortable. So I definitely agree. I would say I have two tips. I have many tips, but the two I would say, one, just hearing Vic, I would say have a doula, or at least consider a doula. Yeah. It's not for everybody for sure. But we had a doula, and it just made me feel like there is someone in the room who is like paying attention to my needs and like has been through this before. I just felt so much more confident and supported. Obviously, I had my partner and he is incredibly supportive, but like neither one of us knew what we were doing.
Yeah.
So like having someone there, and like you definitely have to click with them and it has to be the right person. But like throughout the entire pregnancy, she helped just like in so many different ways. And then the one that I was originally going to say, take an antenatal class. It is like literally the number one tip that I send to everybody when they're pregnant. The actual things you learn in the class, you can like Google in a day probably, but like the friends that you make and just like having that group that are like all going through the same experience, all live nearby you, you know, you have this like built-in support and like friendship and community of like lifeline, basically, you know, once you have the baby, that like when you have a question or you're going through something or you're unsure of what's happening or you just like need someone to talk to or like go on a walk with, like, you have it. So definitely invest the time to like do that or do something where you can like build a little bit of community that will be there to support you when you're actually have the baby and kind of going through those first stages of.
And in the thick of it. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You definitely need someone.
3 a.m. panic message.
Oh. Yeah.
And you can get 20 responses really quickly.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's better than Google.
Sam, what is your advice?
I think mine would be more to do with my mental health during pregnancy. So for mums to, because I felt like I was doing it wrong, because I didn't understand you can have all kinds of different pregnancies, basically, and experiences. And I think my advice would be to ask for help, and that you don't have to necessarily have like a, what we called it, the celebrity diagnosis of like something like hyperemesis gravidarum, like affects people and people know about that. I didn't have that, but I wasn't well. So I felt like it wasn't validated enough to then be reaching out for support. And I think it's important to not have to have a big name to how you're feeling to need the help. And just be a bit more kind to yourself, because I think we can all be a bit tough cooking independent. So I was like, no, I've got to do this and I've got to do this. I've got stuff to do. But it's so fleeting. Pregnancy goes so quickly that taking a bit of time out and spoiling yourself rotten and reaching for support, even though you might think you don't need it yet or something's going to happen, is nothing to be ashamed of. It's definitely better to prepare you for the other side. So I would say that would be my biggest thing. It's okay if you're not glowing.
Yeah.
Make sure someone cuddles you.
And with those very wise words and very important message, this podcast has come to an end. But it's been fantastic to have you all here. Really nice discussion. And I think so many women out there will be able to relate to what you have discussed. And if they are pregnant when they're going through it, they will definitely be able to relate. Thank you.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.